Integrated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, Knowing the Holy Spirit. And now with the Word, here's Brother John.
Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus. He's way over there camping next to Timothy, just before you get around James and Philemon and Hebrews. Verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. When did it appear? When Jesus appeared. Jesus is the embodiment of the kindness and the love of God. I mean, He came to say God is so kind and He loves us so completely and with such a passion. When the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us sparingly, stingily, little bit, as much as we could handle, as much as we were worthy of. No. He poured out on us abundantly. He poured out the Holy Spirit who comes to renew us, and He didn't hold back. He wasn't stingy. He poured Him out upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I tell you, I believe with all of my heart that we have not begun to imagine the amount, the volume, the abundance of the outpouring of the Spirit that is in the heart of God to pour out upon His people. See, we tend to go back to Pentecost and hanker back to the days of Pentecost and think, wouldn't it be wonderful to be like the early church? I'm telling you, people, I don't want to go back to the days of Pentecost. You know why? They just had the early rain. But there is coming a time prophesied by the prophets when God is going to pour out the early and the latter rain together. We are going to have an outpouring that is going to make Pentecost look like nothing on earth. And besides, that's the principles of restoration. When God restores what the enemy stole from the church at Pentecost, it always has to be in greater quality and quantity. Amen. And so the restoration of all things that Peter speaks about, the times of the refreshing, until the time of the restoration of all things. When that time comes, I'm telling you, there's an outpouring of the Spirit that is going to be of mega proportion. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon us abundantly. But I got good news. You don't have to wait till that time to tap into the abundance of His outpouring. Because all of it is guaranteed to us in Jesus, the Anointed One. See? He poured it out on us in Jesus, the Anointed One. It is through the finished work of Jesus. He's longing to pour out in every one of our lives the abundance, the abundance, the abundance of His Holy Spirit. He has poured it out upon us abundantly. The word abundantly is the word in the Greek that is richly. For example, it's used in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He has given us all things richly to enjoy. I'm telling you, if you haven't discovered this, our God's pretty wealthy. He's pretty rich. He really is rich. He really has an abundance. He really is so generous. He is so kind. And some of you look as if you doubt that. Lord, wake him up. Hit him around the head. Just He's given us all things richly to enjoy. He wants to abound toward us in richness, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. The same word, the pouring out of the Spirit, is used in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you. And when He is poured out upon you, what He wants to pour into you. Romans 5 and verse 5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint us because," listen to this, "the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So God has poured out His Spirit upon us abundantly, and the Holy Spirit has poured out the love of God within us. Thank you for your hearty amens. Lord, wake up your people. You're going to get free. It's okay. We're going to get there. I'm aware that I'm battling some stuff in the atmosphere. It's all right. We're just going to preach right through. We're going to preach right through. We're going to preach right through, and the glory of the Lord is going to come. We're going to get right through. He wants to pour out His Spirit abundantly. That's His measure. And the Spirit, as He is poured out upon us abundantly, His longing and His intention is to pour out the love of God in as great an abundance and profusion into our hearts. Yes. Now, I want you to hear this. So much of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in days past has been measured in terms of manifestations, in terms of external things. You know, and that's wonderful, and that's right according to the Scriptures. But I tell you, according to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest measurement of charismatic anointing is not that you can prophesy and that you can give your body to be burned and you can do all these things, but it's going to be love expressed in and through your life. And so the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit falling on the church is the gift of God's love poured out in our hearts. And when His love is poured out in our hearts, it's going to renew us and transform us inwardly, and it's going to begin to repair the breaches that have existed between brother and brother and brother and sister and in the body of Christ. It is only by the outpouring of His love, and with that love is going to come the outpouring of the compassion that He's longing to pour out upon us, so that we begin to do the works of Jesus and reach out to a broken world with the compassion of Jesus, with the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. But it's going to be imperative that we receive the outpouring of the love of God through the Holy Spirit if we're going to be able to walk in the power that He wants to impart to us. And so I want to talk very practically about His love being poured out in our hearts. Why are we not experiencing the outpouring of love that He's promised us? And I could look at many different things. You know, we could look at emotional wounding. And we could look at the fact that many of us have grown up with emotional wounds from our childhood, and because we had parents who were unable to express love adequately to us to the degree that they weren't able to that same degree, we are wounded. And so we're not able to fully receive the love of God because of that wounding. But I want to sum everything up under one word, and that's the word fear. Because fear is the greatest opponent to love. In fact, as you look in the Word of God, you discover that they are diametrically opposed. As Bev said, fear and faith are diametrically opposed. Fear and love are diametrically opposed. John tells us this: there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Guess what casts out perfect love? See, the two are mutually exclusive. See, in those areas of your life where you live operating under a spirit of fear, in those areas you cannot walk in perfect love. One of the things that God kept on showing me, has shown me for years, is this: the mutual exclusivity of certain spirits. See, the Bible tells us this. For example, I quoted one as I was praying in 1 Corinthians 2. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The reason why we don't have that spirit of revelation operating in us as we should to know all the things that are freely given to us of God is because we've imbibed the spirit of the world. And those two are mutually exclusive. If you're drinking of the spirit of the world, you can't also drink of the spirit of revelation. See? And worldliness is not, I don't cuss, I don't chew, I don't... Worldliness is getting your information from the world system. Worldliness is trying to reason everything out with your understanding instead of receiving what God says by revelation. See, and if I'm drinking at that the spirit of the world, I can't at the same time be receiving revelation from God. And so I'm not enjoying all the things that He's given to me. Another verse is Romans 8 and verse 15. Just write it down if you're taking notes. Romans 8, 15 says, "We have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The spirit of bondage that he's talking about is the spirit of bondage to the law. If you're living under legalistic bondage, you can't enjoy the spirit of adoption. You won't feel like a son. You'll feel like a servant. The spirit of a servant and the spirit of a son are mutually exclusive. So many of God's children have received the spirit of a servant. They feel like they've got to serve Him. And as a result, they have no joy in sonship. No joy in their Christian lives. Because joy comes through the spirit of adoption. And more than that, when you receive the spirit of slavery, He says in Romans 8:15, you'll fear. We have not received the spirit of slavery again to fear, leading to fear, which causes fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. His spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. So there's a mutually exclusive spirit there as well. If I'm receiving a spirit of slavery, I'm going to have a spirit of fear on me, and I cannot enjoy the sense of belonging as a son and a daughter to the living God. And many of you know what has happened to you. Even over this past year, there's so many visitors visiting from other towns as well. You've heard the message of grace. The message of grace set you free from legalism. And I'm telling you, when you got free from legalism, it was like, wow, you could receive the joy of being a son. This joy of adoption. Wow, I'm a son. He's not going to kick me out for bad behavior. He really does love me. I'm secure in His love. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Now, there's a third spirit that is mutually exclusive. Now, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Just left of old man Titus that we left there a little while back. This is one of the most dynamic verses in the Word of God for really getting free. Man, if this gets into your spirit, this is dynamite. 2 Timothy 1, and well, let's start verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. In other words, by impartation. I'm going to preach either tomorrow night or Sunday morning on the Spirit upon you as opposed to the Spirit within you. See, the Spirit is in us, but there is such a distinct teaching in the Word of God about the Holy Spirit coming upon us. And God's just been reverberating in my spirit with that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We're talking tonight about the Spirit within. The Holy Ghost has been poured out upon us and He's pouring out the love of God within us. Tomorrow night or Sunday, I'm going to talk about the Spirit upon us. All right. I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of well. You see why you aren't walking in power? You see why you aren't walking in love? You see why you aren't walking with a sound mind? While the enemy eats your lunch and lies to you and deceives you and makes you miserable because you believe his lies about rejection and everything else, it's because there's a spirit of fear present. See, when a spirit of fear is present, you cannot walk in power. They are mutually exclusive. Neither can you walk in love. They are mutually exclusive. Neither can you walk with a sound mind. I'll show you how simple it is. All the enemy has to do is send somebody to you in the morning when you got out of bed feeling real good. You started praising the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord and so on. And somebody, you got to work and somebody made one little statement that the enemy sowed a little doubt in your mind about. And within 10 minutes, speculation has so overwhelmed you that it's taken all your joy and you've hit depression. Isn't that true? Somebody at work just said to you, "My, you're not looking well today." And 20 minutes later, you want to go home. "I'm feeling sick. I need to go to bed." We've all experienced that kind of thing. What happened? What happened? Fear. A word created fear and bam went your sound thinking. Now, I discovered this. The enemy is a taskmaster. He's absolutely an expert in the realm of speculation. 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 Because he knows that speculation is going to get you into fear. There is no room in the child of God for speculation. See, we've received a spirit of revelation so that we can know the truth. Speculation means I'm not sure about it, so I'm talking it over to try and come to some definition in the situation. But what you're doing is you're opening up a door to a spirit of fear. It's going to come in. Paul spoke about the spiritual warfare we're involved in. He says, though we live in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are those strongholds? According to what he goes on to say, they're strongholds in the mind. We destroy arguments or reasonings. The Greek word logikon is speculations, thought patterns, any kind of reasonings. Now come on, child of God, this is where we get defeated. This is where we lose the sense of God's love. Because we've just been in His presence and rejoiced in His love, and then we get a telephone call that just begins a process of speculation, and in no time we've lost our joy. In no time we're looking past the Father's love, and we're seeing the devil's hand powerfully in our lives. Speculation. And so he says, we've got powerful weapons to cast down speculation, reasonings, thought patterns that develop from our speculative thinking. And every high thing that is exalting itself against what? The knowledge of God. Knowing what God says about a situation. Knowing God's truth about a situation. Because that's what's true about any situation. It's what God says about it. And we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. See, I'm telling you, that's where our big warfare is. And many of us are losing the battle and we don't understand why we're not enjoying the love of God poured out in our hearts. And it's simply because we opened up a door to a spirit of fear through our thinking processes. Do you get that? Now, what happens is this, when you give way to that thinking process, the speculative thinking process, two things are going to suffer. Love and power. You understand? That's what the verse, we have not received the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So the moment I start allowing unsound thinking in, I'm going to start doubting love. And I'm going to start feeling no power. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, who am I? Oh. You see what happened? See, when you're in the presence of the Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Man, bring on the day. I'm ready for anything. And one word can trigger speculative thought that'll bring you to a place where, I'm good for nothing. I'm just so unworthy. I'm just so terrible. See what's happened? Oh. Now, I'm interested in the solution. I'm interested in the antidote. I'm interested in, okay, I understand. Yes, 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 yes. Right. Well, what is the antidote? We'll read verse 6 again. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. What is imparted by the laying on of hands? Anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you have within you all of the power that you will ever need to resist every work of the enemy. You have all the equipment that you will ever need to resist every lie and every speculative fear thought that he might dump on you. But you have to stir it up. And that's where we fall short. That's where we lack. Because we allow the enemy to stir up the old fear patterns and we just receive them. Like, oh, and very soon we're just absolutely convinced of the thing that he put in as a fear, and there's got to be a counter stirring up within of the gift of God that has been imparted to us by the laying on of hands. See, what most of us at that time say, let me find a preacher to lay hands on me again. I need laying on of hands. Please lay it. No, 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 no. You've got it. Now stir it up. Oh, I'm having a hard time. Lay hands. Put your hand. Oh, just in. No, 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 no. Listen, you can't always get to a pastor. You can't always get to a man of God or a woman of God to lay hands on you. You don't need them. You can stir it up within you. Stir it up! Stir it up! Now, what are we to stir up? He says, the gift of God which is in you. What is the gift? The word here, gift, is the word charisma. It is whatever charismatic deposit he has given you when the Spirit of God came and filled you, when his anointing came upon you. You see, what God equipped you with at that moment in your personal life is everything that you need to live gloriously and victoriously. And what the enemy wants to neutralize in you is exactly what was imparted to you by the laying on of hands. So that you start saying, I just don't feel confident. I'm going to have to go to somebody to lay hands on me because I just don't have enough. Oh, I'm just here. Child of God, please understand this. When God's Spirit came to settle in upon you, when he poured out the Spirit abundantly on you in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit didn't come with half of himself. He came with all of himself. You have everything you need in the Holy Spirit. And you have every tool. And I like to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit as equipping tools within me to help me to get done whatever needs to get done. Whatever I'm assigned to do, and life is part of that assignment. I can live victoriously, and he has equipped me with everything that I need. Now, let me tell you where the greatest attacks of the enemy are going to be in your life. They're going to be in the area of your divine destiny. I can usually tell when I'm counseling somebody what God has destined them from before the foundation of the earth and from their mother's womb to accomplish in the kingdom. Because all of their wounds and all of the attacks of the enemy through their childhood have been absolutely aimed at counteracting the very purpose of God in their existence. So if God wants you to minister emotional healing to somebody, you have been totally emotionally battered in your childhood. Till you feel a total emotional wreck and you feel like, I need somebody to minister to you. But I want to tell you, child of God, when you can finally hold of this, that the enemy has been trying to rob you in the very place of your destiny. That the very place of his greatest attacks against you is an indication of God's calling on your life. when you see that, you're going to stop getting strong. See, what the enemy wants to get us to do is just to dissolve into weakness and ineffectiveness at the area of our hurt, not recognizing that those areas are the very areas that indicate God's purpose for our lives. Let me tell you about me. I was a shy kid. I was a loner. My daddy didn't want me to play with other kids lest I should get corrupted by the deacon's kids and so on. I was the last of five children. The only boy. Became a loner. Now you see, I could have just said, well, I'm just going to be a loner the rest of my life. Or I could have recognized, hey, God wanted me to pour into the lives of people, and the devil wants to isolate me and make me feel like, well, you know, I'm just a loner. I don't like people. Keep people at arm's length and so on. Do you understand that the devil tried to absolutely pervert my destiny by so wounding me in my childhood that I wanted to withdraw from everybody? I didn't like public speaking. I was shorter than all the other boys at school. I was always the runt of the class. All the boys made notches in their belts beating up on me. I was always the one who got whipped in the fights. You know, I mean, that was just it. The boys all beat up on me. I'm just telling you. And so that made me withdraw even more. I had no self-confidence. I was so shy. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. But let me tell you what my divine destiny is. When God began to show Bev some years ago that He's got a new name for all of us, the Word of God tells He's got a new name, and that new name will detail our destiny. I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, and I was walking in Marmaduke, Arkansas, feeling so insignificant and small. And I said, God, I said, what is your new name for me? And He said, Valiant Warrior. And I said, Lord, I lay hold of it. Because that is diametrically opposed to what I feel in my personality, what I feel inside. But your destiny for me is what you have equipped me for, and I lay hold of my destiny. And I would walk around calling myself Valiant Warrior when I felt like a wimp. Bev's name was Solid Rock when she was as vacillating as Peter was. But you see, Jesus said to Peter, your name is Rock. When he was so weak and vacillated and so on. And I've watched as Bev laid hold of that revelation that she's solid rock. She's become solid. And all those areas where the enemy had caused her to, you know, open her mouth and put both feet in and so on. I've seen the refining work of the Holy Spirit do such a work in Bev. Making her what God called her to be. Her destiny. Her destiny. And I'm telling you, child of God, you have a destiny. And it is at the point of your destiny. And I'm telling you, some of you are going to have to give up your small ambitions because some of you aren't living for your destiny in the kingdom. Some of you have opted for the world's way of living. And God has got His hand on you and He's anointed you and equipped you. But you've allowed the neutralizing effect of the enemy continually reminding you of your childhood and all your ineffectiveness and all your weaknesses and all your hurts. You see, the word here in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, is the word timidity or intimidation. Intimidation. The enemy's greatest weapon is intimidation. And he intimidates you by reminding you of your imperfections, your weaknesses, and all that stuff within you. It is so clear that Timothy was probably a very timid kind of guy, a very withdrawn. He had very lacked self-confidence. He was sickly, you know, as well, because Paul told him to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake, for his oft infirmities. The word infirmities is weaknesses. I'm telling you, he just gave into infirmities and said, well, I can't minister. I'm just a sickly kid. Come on! See, that's the same thing the enemy is using on so many of God's children today. And neutral. Well, Paul says, stir up the gift that is within you. Now, let's look at this. How was the gift imparted? Look at 1 Timothy. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, gives him a charge. Ooh, this is going to get you excited. "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." Now, what were those prophecies about? Turn to, in the same book, to chapter 4 and verse 14. "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the eldership." In other words, those prophecies were about his destiny and the giftings that God was giving him in order to fulfill that destiny. Now, Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Timothy, let me warn you what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants to neutralize you in your destiny, and what the way he does it is to neutralize the gifts that God has given to you in order to fulfill your destiny. Those were the gifts that were imparted to you by prophetic utterance when the elders laid hands on you, and there was an impartation of charisma, there was an impartation of anointing, and your destiny was spelt out in prophetic utterance." I tell you, I pray God is going to restore that kind of ministry to the church of Jesus Christ, where there's not one person sitting in the pews who hasn't had prophetic utterance all over them of what their divine destiny is in Jesus. Yes. I mean, we desperately need the restoration of the prophetic office to the church. If I was a pastor, I'd have prophetic whatever. Every 3 months, I'd bring in the best prophets that I could buy. Well, you know. And get my people line up one at a time and let the prophets prophesy over them and call out their destiny. That's God's purpose. He didn't mean you to be a Christian who spends your whole life washing out. Where do I fit in? What am I supposed to do? I mean, right from when you're born again, you need to know your divine destiny. You need to know your calling. That's why God has set prophets in the church. Jesus told us in John chapter 16, that the Holy Spirit would tell us of things to come. And it's a tragedy to me to see so many Christians who don't know what their destiny is. And so they don't know the giftings that they have. They don't know where the front of attack is. See, you'll only know the front of attack when you know what your calling and destiny and gifting is. Because that's what the enemy is attacking. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, he says in 1 Corinthians, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to wage warfare with the prophecies. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. Just go back to that again. "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." See, I've got two of the most significant prophecies that have been spoken over my life in the back of my Bible. And don't you know that I have to wage warfare with what God has said He's going to do? Because the enemy wants to neutralize me. And you know how he wants to neutralize me? He comes and he says, "Who do you think you are? Who do you, cotton picking, think you are? How arrogant of you." See, and I've got to go back and say, "Hey, I didn't say it. He said it. Through the prophets, this is what He has said. This is what He has spoken." And I'm telling you, Bev and I have learned. You can ask my wife. We wage warfare with the prophetic utterances because we know our destiny in God. We know our destiny in the body of Christ. There are gifts that He has deposited within us. And I have to stir up, stir up, stir up, stir up. Stir up, stir up, stir up, stir up those giftings, because the enemy wants to neutralize them. Are you getting this? Now, I want to speak about one charisma. And I'm doing it boldly because the Holy Ghost told me to deal with this. And I understand some of you are from other churches, and I don't want to cause any offense, but I need to speak boldly about this, because, and for those of you who are open to this and understand this, this is for you. I feel one of the greatest areas where the enemy has tried to neutralize Christians is in the area of the gift of tongues. Because we haven't understood the incredible power that is committed to the believer through the gift of tongues. And I want to tell you tonight, I believe in with all of my heart that the gift of tongues is one of the most important spiritual weapons that we have in our arsenal against the enemy, and it's one of the most neglected weapons by most Christians. I'm challenged by this, because I believe, like Bev and I were talking this afternoon, that many Christians only exercise tongues when they're in church. And the problem is that the time when you need it the most is when you're under greatest attack of the enemy. You see, let me tell you this. The reason why God gave you the gift of tongues was to bypass and circumvent your mind with its processes, for your spirit to get in contact with God's spirit, for you to have a direct communication link with heaven and heaven's purposes and the mind and the will of God. Now what happens is the enemy wants to come into you and put speculative thought in you, and if you don't start counteracting it with spirit-to-spirit communication, you're going to give way to those thought processes, and you're going to find yourself spending a long time mired in speculation. It is at the point when the enemy comes against your mind in the greatest frontal attack, it is at that time that as a believer, I need to start putting on the weaponry and utilizing that charismatic gift and stir up the gift that is within me. It has been given to you for healing of your emotions beyond what your mind can conceive. I've seen that function so powerfully. I remember years ago I was doing a meeting in Georgia, and a couple from middle of Florida called and said, "Can we come for counseling?" And so I said, "I'll check with the pastor," and I asked the pastor if he minded, because I don't usually like to take time out when I'm ministering in one church to minister to people from Timbuktu and, you know, Pofada and wherever. And so the pastor said it was okay, and so they drove up and we spent a day together. And in the afternoon, the Holy Spirit said, "I don't want you to lay a hand on this lady. She's come and she's looking to you. And if you lay a hand on her, she's going to credit you. And so this is what I want you to tell her to do. I want you to tell her to go home and pray in tongues." And I said, "You've got to be kidding, Lord. She drove all this way for me to minister to her. And the Lord gave me detailed instructions to give to her. And it's a little bit like Elisha and Naaman." And I said to her, I said, "Jean Marie, the Lord wants you to go home and get down before Him and start praying in tongues. And as you pray in the Spirit, that communication of your spirit with God's spirit is going to release and bring to the surface the emotional wounding within you. Just keep praying in the Spirit until it comes to the surface. And then when it comes, ask the Holy Spirit to give you recognition and insight into what is at the root of it, and keep praying in the Spirit until He gives you the insight, and then just keep praying in the Spirit till the healing's done." And she told us afterwards that when she left Columbus, Georgia, she was mad at me. She thought, you know, we spent all this money to drive up from Florida for the prophet to lay hands on me, just like Naaman. Yeah? I thought he'd come outside and he'd, you know... "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Yuck. And so Jean Marie got home, and the first day she was too mad at me to do anything. And then the second day the Spirit of God said to her, "Why don't you give it a try?" And so after her husband had gone to work, she got down on her knees and started praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden she began weeping. Just deep pain came out from her innermost being. And she thought, "Where did this come from? I've never been so wounded." And so she said, "Lord, show me what the root of this is." And she kept on praying, and suddenly revelation came to her. This is the cumulative effect of your mother's preferential treatment of your brother.
And right there she forgave her mother and just kept praying in the Spirit until the healing came. She spent the whole day on her knees and went through a marvelous healing and deliverance. I'm telling you, child of God, some of us could get seriously healed with the weaponry of the Spirit of God that has been given to us by the laying on of hands. See, don't treat it like, well, it's just a badge. Yeah, I got it. I talk in tongues. Come on! It's given to you as a tool. There's such power there. I love the story of Jackie Pullinger. In fact, I read her book before I was charismatic. And that book did more for me to help me to open up to the ministry of the Holy Spirit than any other book that I ever read. Because Jackie Pullinger was just an English young lady in England who got saved, and she was from a well-to-do family and went to, you know, good schools and all the rest of it. She got saved while she was in college and immediately just got so turned onto Jesus, and her heart was to be a missionary. She just felt the Lord calling her to be a missionary. So she went down to various mission organizations and said, I want to be a missionary. And they said, you're too young and you're a girl and you're single. Go back and grow up. Yeah, and probably get married first and all the rest of it. So she went to the preacher of the Anglican church that she was a member of and said, man, I want to be a missionary, but I don't know what to do. Nobody can. The mission organizations won't take me because I'm too young. And I don't know where God wants me to go, but I've got this drive within me to go. And he jokingly said, well, I suppose you should just buy a ticket to the furthest place on earth and ask the Holy Spirit where to get off. And she thought, that's the most brilliant idea I've heard. She went and bought a boat ticket to China. She thought, China's the furthest spot on earth from England. And when she got to Hong Kong, the Holy Spirit said, get off here. You've got a ministry here. And Jackie Pullinger went into Hong Kong and moved into the walled city of Hong Kong and began a ministry that has been detailed by BBC. BBC has done a documentary on Jackie Pullinger's ministry. Got baptized in the Spirit, and all she knew to do was pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in tongues. And she'd do it all day, every day. She'd go for hours. I mean, you don't minister to gang members. The triad gangs were there. All the prostitutes and so on. The police wouldn't even go into the inner city of Hong Kong in those days, in the walled city. But Jackie went in there, just this young girl. I mean, she was barely out of her teenage years. And started ministering there. Now, when these kids would get saved, she couldn't say to them, now, you need to go home and read your Bible and pray. They didn't know squat about praying, and they didn't know how to read. So all she'd say to them, she says, I want you to promise me to pray 15 minutes in tongues every day. And those kids would start praying in tongues, and they'd come off drugs, get free of drugs, free of prostitution. I'm telling you, there's a power in the Holy Spirit that we've neglected. And listen, I wasn't raised Pentecostal. I'm not a rabid Pentecostal. You know, I'm a Baptist. Well, I was a Baptist. Listen, I wasn't raised in this lot. I've come to appreciate the power of the anointing and the giftings that God has given to me through usage. And we are weak to the degree that we neglect the gifts that God has given to us. And I wish I could encourage every one of you who are God's children and who have the gift of tongues to stir it up. Not just in prayer meetings. Not just when you're in church, when everyone else is speaking in tongues around you. But whatever you're doing, when you're under the shower, when you're walking down the street, when you're driving your car, wherever you are, praying in the Holy Ghost, your spirit desperately needs it. You're only going to be strong and be able to circumvent the enemy's attack on your mind and your reason when you're praying spirit to spirit, when you're communing with God. Yes, it's good to pray with the understanding, but Paul says, I'm going to pray with the Spirit as well as with the understanding. And I'm sharing with you, child of God, this is a power that God has for His church. And we need to stir it up, stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir up the gift that is within you. Stir up the charisma that is within you, he says. Stir up that charismatic gift. Stir it up. And excuse me getting so stirred up, but I am stirred up. You see, because we're coming to a time where, like Jackie Pullinger found out in Hong Kong, we're not going to have times to go and spend 2 hours in prayer. Because when God starts to pour out the anointing and the AIDS people start coming around and the cancer patients start coming around and all the sick people start coming around, we're not going to have the time to be able to get away on the mountaintop and spend a few hours. We're going to have to be able to receive anointing right there and receive the revelation of God of what the need is. When I'm faced with a person and I don't know how to minister to them, I immediately start praying in the Spirit. Because it is by the Holy Spirit that I receive revelation from God. Oh boy. Now, and let me tell you something else. Oh, if you've only got one prayer language, ask Him for more. Because the Bible says He gives diverse tongues. You need a few. I mean, you're going to find they're going to come out in different times, in different applications. Why limit yourself to one? You need more weapons, more tools. Brother John, this is a weird sermon. But it's time for the church to hear it, because the enemy is riding all over us and we've got the weapons. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. The Lord said to me this afternoon, as we lay hands on you tonight, we're going to stir up those giftings. There's going to be impartations of giftings. So if you don't want your gift stirred up, run for cover. There's the door. Glory. Yes. Yes, and those of you who want the gift of tongues, I mean, you can have it. It's not something that you have to beg for. It is something that He wants to give you. God is so good. I tell people, people come to me and say, Brother John, does everybody have to speak in tongues? I say, you don't have to, but why wouldn't you want to? I mean, God's not going to make you do anything that you don't want to. But why wouldn't you want such a precious gift that is going to be such power in your daily life? That is going to give you a means of communicating? Well, I don't think God will give it to me. You see, I prayed for it one time and He didn't give it to me. Let me just give you a little bit of a help here. Because I'm one of those guys who had such a hard time receiving. I say, well, if God wants to give me the gift of tongues, He'll just zap me. And I'll just start speaking in tongues. I never understood the cooperation of faith. That He gives, but I receive. And receiving means this. That I believe that His Word is truth, and I act upon the truth of the Word. And believing that He is true, I begin to speak with my mouth, and He gives me the utterance. Now, that's where fear... let me tell you, when you start doing that, the enemy is right here with a spirit of intimidation telling you, you're not going to be able to speak, you're going to sound like a fool, you know, you're just going to make it up, and ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, lie after lie after lie after intimidation, because He doesn't want you to receive what is such a beautiful, simple gift, but which is such a power in your life. And so the intimidation factor, the first time I spoke in tongues, immediately He was right there and He said, that wasn't God. You made that up. And you know what? He neutralized me for the next 5 years. For 5 years, I rejected it. Because the enemy convinced me that I did it, that it wasn't God. I understand His intimidation. God hasn't given us a spirit of intimidation, but of power! Of love and of a sound mind. Now, Father, tonight I pray in Jesus' name that we'll have sound thinking, that the enemy will not be able to use fear and intimidation against your people, that, Lord, we will boldly receive and lay hold of that which you purchased with your blood at Calvary, Jesus, to be the birthright of every believer. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. He is the inheritance that is ours. He is the down payment and the deposit of the full inheritance. And if He's the deposit of the inheritance, then the fullness must be a completeness of the down payment. And so in heaven we're going to have all of the completeness and fullness of that which is now a down payment. And we receive You, Holy Spirit, and all that You want to bring and do and impart to us, so that we might be strong. We might be strong. We might be strong. We might be strong. And Lord, it's because You want to do all of the healing within us that keeps us from believing that You are such a good, kind Father. You want to heal within us all that keeps us from believing the fullness of, and receiving the fullness of Your love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Lord, I long for the fullness of love, but there was so much woundedness in me that kept me from being able to believe that You love me. But I thank You that by the Holy Spirit You have done such healing within me. By revelation of the Spirit and by the loose power of the Spirit through the gift of tongues, You have done so much healing. You have restored what the enemy tried to destroy so that I couldn't fulfill my destiny. And I thank You, Lord, that the more You heal me, the more I'm able to be filled with Your love. Filled with Your love. Filled with Your love. The love of God is shed abroad. Shed abroad. Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit that is given to us. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Now this is what we're going to do tonight. We're going to just do this very simply. We're just going to, in a moment, we're just going to all just start praying in tongues quietly. And so everyone who can pray in tongues, you're just going to start praying in tongues right where you are. I'm not going to call people out because I don't want you to feel any self-consciousness unnecessarily. Right where you are, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to touch you in such a powerful way and impart to you that which your heart longs for. And just in the whole atmosphere as we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, when you feel that you can, just start to open your mouth and speak out. And I want to tell you there's going to be a release in this place tonight. The Holy Spirit of God is going to release. He doesn't want to embarrass you. He wants to equip you. He's not trying to make you feel funny. He's trying to fill you with His power. He's trying to impart to you that gift that is going to keep you from that intimidation of the enemy. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for Your anointing to fall in this place tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for gifts, 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 gifts to be imparted. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that there'll be just freedom to receive, trusting You. Jesus said, who of you will go to your father and ask him for a stone? Or ask him for bread? Will he give him a stone? Or if you go to your father and ask him for a fish, will he give him you a scorpion? If you being evil now to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Don't start praying just yet. Well, you can. This is not when I intended. Because I want to first of all take authority over that spirit of fear and intimidation. I want to cast that demon out in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank You that You called me valiant warrior because You called me to fight against everything that binds up Your people. To fight against every power of darkness that oppresses Your people. And I take the authority that I have seated with together with Jesus in heavenly places. Satan is under His feet and Satan is under my feet. I take the authority of the One who bound the strong man so that I can simply come in and plunder his goods. And Satan, tonight in the name, power, and blood of Jesus, I'm going to plunder your goods. On the authority of God's Word and because of the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Every spirit of intimidation and fear and ignorance that has been assigned to any one of these, the children of God, I take authority over you now and I tell you to loose the people of God. You have no rights over the children of God. You loose them. You leave them. Now, in Jesus' name. Now, excuse me raising my voice. It's not that the devil is deaf. He's just stubborn. You've got to holler at him. Jesus also cried with a loud voice. In the name of Jesus, you leave. Right now, right now. Now, the spirit of intimidation is still trying to stay on some of you. He's warning you. He's saying, well, you could get in. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Hush. In Jesus' name, you lying spirit of intimidation. In Jesus' name, hush. Now, Spirit of God, I ask you just to come and blow over this congregation. Blow over this people. Releasing grace gifts, joy gifts. The root of the word charisma is charis, or grace, but it's also chara, which means joy. The Father rejoices to grace you with gifts, and those gifts impart grace to you and give you joy. Ha! It's so wonderful.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you, and thank you for listening.